we think that that should be our focus. I'm so glad that God taught. If anybody, I'm answering part of the question of these three questions that we are going to discuss. If anybody is tired of the thing that we had built before, more so than me, I seriously doubt it. I seriously doubt if anybody else was any more disgusted with the thing that we aspire to. That thing that always had somebody up here. Well, just there will be somebody up here. Maybe somebody will say things better. Maybe some actually who can lead us in praise and worship like pastor. And who can do this like that and this like the other. But that thing that always diminished and allowed us to fall short of God finishing what he started in us because we were connected to that thing. We thought we got it. And we stopped growing. We stopped growing. We learned how, when we really come such a far away, because we move with Congress, we're connected to a bigger thing, which is all wonderful and good. But that wasn't all that God was after, the connection. He wasn't only interested in us being able to move together. He wanted us to take time to deal with our own inroads, to deal with our own past, and to wrestle with our own demons. And we would never have looked at him if he hadn't stopped us from that treadmill. You've arrived, just keep doing that again. You've arrived, just keep doing that. You've arrived, you know how to praise and worship. You've arrived, you know how to be church. You've arrived. You're not church as usual. You're better than this or you're better than that. You've arrived. It stopped us from journeying. It stopped us from really examining ourselves. We have relationships. Well, it stopped us from knowing that we needed what we needed is depth of relationships. We need people that come together and don't have to hide anything. Well, what is it about what we created that causes people to hide? We need to, that's not okay. That's not the fullness. That's not on earth as it is in heaven. That's not the liberties that God saved us to have. We've always come short from this thing. We've always feel, sometimes in reference to each other, we feel like less. That's not a good thing. We should be freer. We should be more open. And these relationships that we are developing with one another ought to be a place of disclosure where we can confess our sins one to another without worrying about it making us look less in this place. And the people coming from the street ought to be able to come and say, this is who I am. This is what I'm struggling with. And we don't have to say that we can't deal with that because it diminishes us. And we don't understand that, so we don't want you connected here because we've perfected us. And us has walls. Us has boundaries. Us has things that doesn't allow other people to get in. I was thinking about who we are and who we're becoming and how God just stopped it. Thank you, God, this respite. So much God demanded and divine. It's so divine for us to stop and stop worshiping who we were and becoming who God wants us to be. And I was talking to Glenn about how much easier it is for the young people. I saw the young man recording Dr. Woodruff's speech and how a half a generation ago, his speech didn't capture, even keep our attention of our young people. And how now they're just like sponges absorbing and listening and learning, and because they haven't come convinced that there's something else that we should be aspiring to, that pastors shouldn't be having to preach us happy. Where is that at? Where is that thing that we're so used to religious, that weekly high, that dose, that thing that we needed to get out? Oh, we got Pete preaching me happy. I feel good. It didn't even last throughout the Sabbath. Sometimes not even past the parking lot. Just mad at somebody again. Because that thing that God is trying to get out of us still is in us. And that if this doesn't teach us to address those things, then we're not learning. We're not getting what it is that God's trying to do in us. And it's so much easier with the young people because I was talking to Judy. Judy brought it out to me that we're old buildings. And I realized that, what is it? What are the old buildings that are made of instead of drywall? What is that? Yeah. That plaster is so much harder to reconstruct with than drywall. That stuff that he had to tear down in us took so long. It took me 10 years to open up my mouth. You know, to buy into what God was doing, even understanding what God is doing and doing what God is saying to do are two entirely different things. Understand, okay, I can understand. I can learn, put it in a book, I can learn. Yeah, but doing what God requires faith, pressing in, getting rid of the old baggage, tearing down those old things. These drywall, so much easier to fix. Oh, that little hole, just patch it over and paint it. That's what's happening with our young people. No wonder a child should lead them. No wonder. They're so much more malleable. It's just, what is there to despise? There's nothing but admiration for them. You know, just get a catch. Keep up. How about that? Keep up. Let go of that stuff that you think. It took me how many years to wear my natural hair? Okay. And it was accidental because I didn't have time to get ready to go to my old pastor's funeral. And I watched it, and Jazzy's been telling me for years, just go out the door. You know, the stuff I do, I probably go back to because it's convenient. But I don't have to. I ain't stuck in it. And God's trying to make us free indeed from that stuff we're saddled with. And we're dragging around and think it's going to get perfected. No, it ain't. That needs to be done every 3 weeks. Never. And died on top of that. Maybe I'll get away from that. I don't have to worry about the roots so much. But I'm just talking about the liberty that God's bringing us to. And that's what Pastor wants to poll the congregation today. I'm going to pass the mic around, and we're going to talk. And we're going to talk realizing that this thing that we have is not completed without your input. That you talking about what you stumbled over or what it is you're letting go of is what we all need. The part of the whole is just not all coming from up here. It's us. What is God doing? And how is he taking you from here to there? And we need everybody's who has thought these things out. We need your input. So, I'm going to start with the first question. What is the nature of God in my heart? It's so much easier to when we just had to give parables of what Doc just said. Wasn't that easier? Now that that's not okay. That's the old now. That's the leeks and onions. Nobody cares who can say that the best, who can interpret that, who can give the best parable. Nobody cares anymore. What is it, the nature of God in your heart? How about nobody can say that better than you? Nobody can say that better than you. So raise your hands if you're ready. If you maybe some are just hearing these questions today. But if you're ready, if you have an answer about what's the nature of God in your heart, Glenn will bring the mic around to you and we'll capture this for Pastor and for the congregation. What is the nature of God in my heart? Cynthia, speak loud.
Okay. Oh, is it on? I'll just start with what God has been working with me probably since I retired, which has been in December. Every time I read his word, and I thank God now that I'm retired, I'm finding myself being able to really start my morning. And Glenn and I have always started with prayer and rushing out the door to work. But now I don't have to rush. Sometimes I just lay in bed for an hour and just be there with him. Even though I'm up at 6:30, I may not really get going to 7:30 because it's his time and my time. And he has really been showing me, every time I read his word, he said, do you believe that? And I feel like Peter, yeah, Lord, you know I do. And as soon as I say that, he shows me in areas where I don't. And it's been pretty painful. And so I'm journeying and learning to let go. He's showing me areas where he hasn't been the complete center, where I said, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. He's like, well, if that's the case, then this wouldn't bother you like that, and that wouldn't bother you like that, and you would trust me in this. And so that's been I think I'm answering one and two, what he's been saying to me personally, and the nature of my transformation is really reflecting on the areas where he's showing me that I'm been the center of this. You have entrusted me in this. So, it's been a definitely period of growth. Not quite the retirement I planned. Doc said something a moment ago that really had reflect. He said a lot, but I'm trying to go back because I take so many notes. About part of the journey or part of exactness is reflecting on God's preferences. And so I think if I can say anything, that's where I'm at now. I have fooled myself at times into thinking my preferences were God's preferences. And I'm seeing now that that's not always the case.
Wow, I like the way she did that. I should read all three questions because maybe that's your answer too. Maybe it talks about what God's saying to you personally and the nature of your transformation. Maybe that's all in one. And for her to talk about finally seeing things when she has time, you know, that's what God did to all of us. He gave us time. He gave us time to get off the, I don't know what that little wheel is that gerbils run around on. You know, the thing that, here we go again. Got to get ready. I had never had as good a night's sleep before I stood here before you as I did last night. Because I said, Pastor, well, what is it? Facilitate. Well, what are you saying? Whatever God puts on your heart. I went to sleep. So the time, I mean, the amount of effort that we took to maintain that thing, I'm not missing that. So in the time that God needs to speak to us is, you know, while we're not exerting all of our energy doing the same thing over and over and over again, you know, we can stop worrying about what it takes, and just do and just be and let God speak to us. I like that.
Just came to me, and this is something he's been reminding me of constantly. There's a song that says, "When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world?" And he almost reminds me of that daily. When I get anxious or when things come up, I have to just remind myself, "When did I forget this? That you're king of this world."
Yeah. When did I forget? We forgot because we were busy. I gotta write that.
Since I have the mic, I'm going to just go ahead.
And
also share. I mean,
Glenn, speak loud.
Speak loud. All right. You know, both Cynthia and I just retired, and we've had a lot of time, and it is good. It's a time of prayer. And, you know, so back to, on the question here at hand, it says, what is the nature of God in my heart? And, you know, 62 years old, and I really, really sat and thought and prayed about this, and so I look at how do I describe the nature of God in my heart. I kind of describe it as a farm, farmland. I go to farms. I think of farming, you know, and I think of, I think of the seeds and suckling, and I think of the things that are on a farm and what we had to do. And I think of getting up early and planting and watering and feeding and all the things. And this is what I think of the nature, you know, the nature of my heart. And and being in sync with God, being in sync with God and hearing God and knowing God and reaching that higher level that is necessary.
And Dr. Woodruff touched on that. You've been spending so much time with God. Did you really get to know him? You know, reaching a higher level is not just knowledge, but a familiarity with spending time with. See? It's right where we are. It's what God's been doing here. It's what he's doing. He's doing everywhere. So that's wonderful. Thank you, Glenn. Sherry.
Okay. How was I? This year has been, crazy. Can you hear me? It's been weird. When you've done something for a very long time and it was what you were taught to do, this is how the work ethics you were given by your parents, this is how everyone did it. And then to have all that taken away and discarded and to start fresh, but it's weird with the fresh was because it's this thing you've been asking God for a long time to do something. And then when he takes everything that you know and understand and you thought was right, and he says, okay, here's the gift that you've been asking for. Now what are you going to do with it? But you're so used to that platform that you had for ever since you grew up because this is what you were taught. I kind of envy millennials.
Yeah,
in the sense that I came from an era where you were told you went to school, you got a job, you did that job till you retire, and then when you retire, you figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life. That was basically the platform. You went in, you gave it 100%, you did whatever they told you to do, you know, whatever. You told the line. And then millennials, well, they're like, well, we don't want to toe the line. We want to do this, and we want to try this, and blah, blah, blah. And then now I'm like, okay, I'm a millennial, but I'm an old person. So it's kind of weird because I'm in a situation where now I can do what I want to do. But I don't have the foundation that they have to free think. I'm still kind of want to do, I need that structure somewhere, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in this like weird paradox right now where I'm trying to figure out, I know what I need to do and I know what my gift is and I know what he said he wants me to do and this is what I've always wanted, but in the same sense, I'm like, well, yeah, but there's no one telling me what to do. I'm the me that has to, well, he's telling me, but I'm the me that has to tell me what to do.
There you go.
And I found out I'm a lousy boss. I'd have fired me a long time ago. Because it's weird when you're your own boss.
Yes.
You know, am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I kind of, I'm sitting here was thinking the nature of God. But it's funny, even though he kind of, I have some free thing, he does put me in some structural. So like if I go too far to the left, someone or something will push me back to where that I'm back in that track that I need to be. But I was just thinking about the church and all the things that we're going on today. I think we're in the same transition. We're being asked to free think, but a lot of us are so conditioned to that old way where I need you to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And it's been our way of life. And so we want a free thing, but we're so much comfortable when you tell me what to do. So I'm interested to see how we finish out. Do we finish out as millennials and continue to free think and download what he has for us? Or do we end up being that old church and just never and end up dying out? That's all.
So good. The building, the restructuring does start from the inside out. And Pastor can't tear down these walls. We have to allow these walls to be torn down. And the thing we tried to browbeat our kids into was wrong. I mean, you know, my kids are so outside of my box of what I thought they should be and how I thought they should build their lives. And they do things that I never could have imagined. And not everything that they do is right. But I won't have any impact if I think I'm up here edicting to them. They don't even want to hear it that way. They want to say, this is what I'm doing, Mom. What do you think? Or this is where I'm stuck, Mom. That's all they want. They don't need a king because they realize that that's what's wrong around here. And people are just going through the motions knowing what somebody told them. And they have to learn how to believe within themselves and accept what they want themselves. And it this took me, taking me having to shut up very often and able to learn from them. We're honorary millennials, that's what I say. Honorary millennials, because we didn't come up that way, but we can learn from you, just like you can learn from us. Okay. Answer. Oh, I heard you, well, before you go, I heard you all over this. I heard that nobody uses the word practical until Ansel came along. But anyway, I'm just saying. Go ahead.
I think we're going to have a lot of discussion next week, next week, Sunday. I think for me, what's the nature of God in my heart, so I'll give you a little background. Obviously, growing up in a different culture, you're very direct. And Americans, not as direct as it could be in your face, they are direct outside, you know, when you're not talking to you. Some people are. But we grew up in a culture where we are very direct. You could tell even from the videos, you know, that's who we are. We just say it, that's it. We walk, whatever damage occurs, it all happens. And then, you know, we grew up in a sense, at least I grew up in a church context where we majored on God being an angry God. Heaven gates, hell's flames. You go to hell if you don't do this. Right? Where everybody is not up to snuff, and you have to be a certain level of holiness to get up to snuff. It all was driven from Jonathan Edwards preaching that famous message a long time ago in Reformation, sinners in the hand of an angry God. That was the worst preaching I've ever heard. But that is held up as a standard. But that's what grew up in my heart. When you look at other people and you say they're worth being sent to hell. They're worth because God was a God who, yeah, we're saying he's loving. You make one slip, right? So you approach people like that, and you interact with people like that. Unbeknownst to you, you're not really representing Christ. So just as Doctor was saying, one of the things I will add to is how you see Christ affects how you represent him. People see Christ like that, and they're driven by that. But really, Christ came and showed something different. He actually showed how can you react and represent him when you see, instead of sinners in the hand of an angry God, you see sinners in the hands of a loving God, which is completely different. So which means is in my heart, it's changing how I see people and how I interact with people. Yeah, knowing that there's accountability. Yeah, knowing that there's a level of which you're accountable for your life. But here is a man who came and who should have just not be patient with anyone. And he told the woman at the well, and he told others, I didn't come to condemn you. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You want sacrifice. You want a church service. I don't want that. Isaiah 58, he told him, you know, this is not the fast that you've I've chosen. Well, what have you chosen? Well, you're in church, having church service, but widows are out there. And you're not defending the widowless and the orphans, and there's injustices occur. So that changed my heart in terms of how I view him. Now, how do I interact with him? It means then, slow to speak. You know, don't be quick to anger. Don't be quick to prejudge someone because they're not like you. Don't be motivated to condemn first or condemn ever because that's not your place. So that's, for me, the nature of God. And how do I represent that in my marriage, in my workplace, as a manager, because I want to be the type of manager that I want to manage too. And honestly, there have been some stuff in having my job. When I first came here to Harrisburg, I was a manager. And I said, I'm not doing that again. Then I end up, after about 15 years now, I've been made a manager again. But anyway, I took too much time, but that's good. You know, Sinners in the Hand of a Loving God. Actually, that's a book, that title of a book that you should read right now by Brad Josek from Amazon. It's a very good book. It also compares that. But that's what's happening in my heart. Oh, it's the nature of Christ that I see now.
Amen. And so, and you're not taking up too much time, and I hope I'm not. But what you were saying reminded me of what God is teaching me in my life now, thinking about being in the hands of an angry God. My church that I came from, when God was angry, if you bared your shoulders, everything, you know, you're afraid to exist. And I realized that the time God's given me with my brother had strokes and heart attacks, and I'm his caretaker, and he's getting increasingly confused. And it's happening just slow enough for me to have to catch myself from getting angry and thinking he's not paying attention, the reason why he's doing those things. I'm like, now you don't know when you're relieving yourself and stuff like that. You know, things are just degrading. And one time I said, how can you not know? You're taking an effort to do that thing. How can you not know? And he looked at me in all sincerity and said, Chrissy, I just don't realize. And God spoke to me and said, that's what Christ felt on the cross when he said, they don't even realize the mess they're making. Forgive them. Forgive them. Deal with other people in that capacity and deal with yourself in that capacity. You don't even realize the stink that you're causing. You're part of the problem too. And that place of forgiveness, that mercy, is where God is teaching me to live, not judging, and even not being so hard on myself. Because I'm making a mess too. Look, you can't smell yourself. God has to show us what's wrong. Forgive. We don't know what we're doing. So that's how we got it with God. And I like living in that place of what he's teaching me. Stop. What anger? What's that triggering you? Why is everything a personal affront against you? It ain't about you. Really? Somebody ignoring you? Somebody not respecting you? My kids, I always say that. Wait a minute. Why got to respect me a certain amount? You know, you have to. Yeah, I'm the boss. But it shouldn't trigger that kind of response of offense that I'm walking in all the time. And God wants that thing out of me. I've always been out of shape about something. So that's where he's dealing with me personally. And you reminded me of that when you said that mercy that he gave us. Okay. Jitu.
Can you, before whoever says what, can you just read the three questions again?
Oh, the question. What's the nature of God in my heart? What is God saying to me personally? And what's the nature of my transformation? Pastor phrased it personally when he preached last week and said, where is the word working in you? That to me summarizes it all. What's it doing in you? Not what do you understand it to mean. What's it doing in you?
Someone else first? Okay.
Cece.
So for the nature of God,
I
just look at it that God is righteous and he's full of love and grace and mercy and all that is good. And so in that, I have to stay mindful of that. And so when I, what he's saying to me is you're a representative of me, and so I'm supposed to exemplify and carry out what I'm saying is the nature of God. He said, be holy for I am holy. So I have to, things come up and they may not make me all that happy and glad, and I might not feel like being righteous or whatever. I have to take it like it's not me, but it's you that I want people to see in me. And so I do at work, I'm like, okay, that's not real kind, people. And then that's what they say, okay, well, Cece so-and-so's not being kind to me. And then they even bought me a mug that has kindness written on it. And so everything that happens, they're always coming back. Cece, they're being unkind, and can you talk to so-and-so and whatever. But and in transformation, I just thought that I try to be like, you know how a gnat or a fly comes around and everybody's batting it away and saying, you disgust me, get. But when a butterfly, beautiful butterfly, comes around. Everybody's like in amazement. Oh, that's, oh, look at the butterfly. It's so beautiful and all of this. So I'm in transformation. I just I'm trying to be that, what is lovely like God and beautiful like God, so people would, you know, want you to be there so you can represent him and not chasing you away like a gnat or a fly.
Treat them all like butterflies instead of gnats. That's wonderful. I got it right there. Okay, Jatu.
Okay. We're going to see if we can get through it. Okay. I came to this church, I was 20 years old. And before Scott and Steve came, I was really broken. Because I had spent 20 years doing all the things I was told to do and saying all the things I was supposed to say and thinking all the things I was supposed to think. And everything in my life was broken. My body was broken. My heart was broken. I could see that what was going on in the church was not bringing life to anybody, but it was like this, like you said, like a treadmill or like a rat race or like a hamster wheel, but there, it was like nothing to be done. What did you say? And so for me, this time frame has been God healing me, because it was so unbelievable to me that everything that I had spent so much investment in and not done other things in my life that I wanted to do was ending all in one day. And that felt like such a waste. And it still does. Which is not necessarily to say that it was, but because the Holy Spirit made so much room and space by simplifying and streamlining the process of our engagement with him, when the first message came was to nourish yourself, take nourishment, and stay in the boat. That was the word that we first got, and I thought, okay, that's really simple. And it brought me back to a place where I did something I haven't been doing faithfully for a while, which is reading every day. I'm not good at just like opening the Bible and reading from somewhere. So things happen inside the body that would be like, oh, I can read about that. Amanda sent out this email one day, like, oh, you can read about this. Okay. Reset. I can do that. And it opened up this entire world of me telling God, why should I believe anything that you say when I did what you said and everything fell apart?
Yeah. You know what? Sounds like death to me. Sounds like death. Sounds like death.
And my life is in pieces. And his nature to me was, I want you to remember that I caught every tear, that I was never away from you. I never left you. I'm the one, in fact, who brought you to this place. I didn't let you walk away. I didn't let you leave. I made it so that you could make it here today. So I could bring you to this new place, because I knew you would follow me. Wherever I was. And it's his faithfulness, not mine. Because I could never beat his faithfulness. He brought me. You said this morning that we let God shatter us completely and start over. But when you get saved, nobody tells you God's going to do that to you. And nobody tells you he might do it more than once. He might build something and one say, yep, don't want that anymore. And for me, his nature to me is to know that that was okay. I didn't know that was okay. That you would be destroyed and remade over and over again in your lifetime. And that it was a good thing. The scriptures say that when God created man, he said it was a good thing. And God reminded me that he didn't change his mind.
Amen, Chitu. Amen, Chitu. Something you said I have to comment on. If we told people that that's what church was for, they wouldn't get mad at the pastor every time something happens in their life that the pastor can't fix immediately. Wouldn't be looking for external causes for the poisons in our lives. We'd look for them in the one answers and where we're supposed to be finding them. If we stayed focused on our own internal processes, we wouldn't get disappointed and what we thought church was supposed to be. Ken.
Okay, is this on? Yeah, I guess it is. I'd like to answer question number two. What is God saying to me? Well, what he's saying to me is the same things he's been saying to me all my born-again Christian life. But now,
keep it up.
Now it's more pronounced, more amplified, more urgent, more awareness to me. The same thing he's been saying to me my whole Christian life. That is, be holy. Be holy. And in character, in deed, in word, in my behavior, in my conduct, in life. And I think about the world is governed by its five senses: touch, taste, hear, see, smell. To me, what am I touching? Am I touching the word? Or am I touching the world? Taste. Am I eating the word or eating what the world has to offer? Hear. Where's my intention? Am I hearing the word of God or the word of the world? See. Where's my focus? Am I looking at the word? Or am I looking at the world? Smell. Am I smelling the sweet savior of the Holy Spirit or the filthiness of this world? So this is what God is saying to me. It's being more pronounced, and I choose, with God's help, to do it daily. So to my, not my ability, but God's ability, I am endeavoring to be holy. And that's what God is saying to me.
Wow. In a nutshell, can you know how to make it plain? That's wonderful. With your whole heart, everything you have is focusing on God. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Ron.
I was just thinking about change. And
Ron, put it up.
How when change comes, a lot of people get uncomfortable with change. Because, you know, a lot of us like to do the same things. But one thing I learned about God is when change comes, you got to think about who's asking for the change and who's in charge of the change. Because that's what really helps you get through the change, is knowing that you have a Savior or you have a Lord that's directing that change. And it just reminds all of us to say, it's not my will, but your will. I mean, once we get back to knowing that God so loved, and that's how I deal with people, even at my job or when I meet, is always being reminded that God so loved, that he gave, and that doesn't change. It will never change. He so loved when you were a baby. He so loved when you were 16. He so loved you right now. It will never change. So he's very patient with us, and we're just being reminded that there's a God that's in charge, no matter what goes on around us, that it just takes us to remember to put time into listening to what does he have to say to you. And I think anytime that somebody takes the time to say, God, what are you saying, that he responds. And I think, you know, something came to the church to make you start pondering, what are you saying to us? And we have to be people that know our salvation is not relied upon the pastor. It's not relied upon the person that's standing in front of you. It's all on you internally, what is God saying to you and what you're doing with what he's saying to you. Because at the end of the day, God wants to see himself. When he looks east, west, south, north, he wants to see his structures. He wants to see his fragrance. And I think it's just a moment of we're being rooted, as I think we hear a million times. We're being rooted. And some of you guys, if you listen to the trend, kind of like what Brother Glenn is saying, it's like we're being replanted again. And right now we're rising into that beautiful flower. Like Cece just said, that beautiful butterfly is coming out, ready to spread its wings. Because people of God always rise up. I mean, you can't expect any less from God. If you are a child of God, you can't expect any less but to rise up in whatever you're going through, whatever the issue is. God's in control. And our destination is heaven. Our destination should be closer to him. And right now, we're just being structured and getting mature to get to that place.
Amen. See how easy it is for young folks? It's just another season. Thank God. Anybody else? Okay, if all minds are clear, I guess that's we can consider ourselves dismissed. Thank you all.